your Bible to the book of Colossians. Now, if you don't know where that is, it's simply like this. Everyone with me. Matthew, Mark, and what comes right after that? Acts, then what? Romans. Then 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Then God eats popcorn constantly, okay? God, Galatians, eats Ephesians. Popcorn will be Philippians, Colossians. So if you can't remember the order they go, just remember God eats popcorn constantly. So we're going to go into that today, and we're starting a brand new series. I promise this thing's only going to last 5 weeks, because what we're going to do is we're going to highlight some things that are coming out of it. It's not going to be an exhaustive search, exhaustive study, because I can sit there and read the first chapter, and I can already see, like, lesson after lesson after lesson. I'm sorry, I think that way. But if we would, let's turn over to Colossians, the first chapter. You should be there by now. We're going to read verse 1 through 14, and I'll try not to teach long. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. There's a lesson right there. And Timothy, our brother. To the holy and the faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae. Grace and peace unto you, our God, our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, the faith and the love that spring up from hope. Remember, biblical hope isn't that I hope it will happen. Biblical hope is this foundational truth that is on the other side of what we talked about last week, that parallel universe, and we're going to hit some of that through this series as we go through that, so we even get another better understanding. That springs up in hope that is stored up for you in heaven. Ooh, I like that. I could stop and teach, because 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 also says that our salvation is stored for us in heaven. Here it is laid up for us. In Peter, it is stored for us. Listen, the moment you get saved, we always have this great battle, is this eternal security. You know, the thing is, I will say this. It takes a decision to get into the kingdom, and it can take a decision to get out of the kingdom. Except getting out would be a whole lot harder than what we would think that we can make it. Can a person lose his salvation? We can see that in Hebrews chapter 6. We can see it in Hebrews chapter 10. It is there, but it's something you would really, really, really have to work for. But this is what I'm glad about. When I get saved, my salvation, I don't have to carry it around in my pocket or put it up in my filing cabinet and store it and hope someday that I can find it. You know what I mean? God keeps my certificate of salvation stored for me in heavenly places. And where are those heavenly places? Is heaven way, 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 way out there that you were here last week? No. It is in that dimension that is right here. Here, and we access that dimension through the power, the prayer of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. It talks about that is stored up for you in heaven, that you have already heard about the word of truth. The gospel has come to you all over the world. This gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it, and understand God's grace in this truth. Understand, when this letter is being written, it is written when the church in Colossae is about 6 years old. So now 6 years of fruitfulness they've been producing. You have learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ, on behalf of who you also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through spiritual wisdom and understanding. Could you see how I could already have like two or three lessons? I mean, I could do that, but not today. And we pray, this is the order, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. Dude, I just want to stop right there. Andrea just got back yesterday from her missions trip. The other guys are leaving next Tuesday week on their mission trip. If you've ever got to go to another country, the thing is like you walk up to the gate and you got your passport and they stamp it to come in. You're qualified to come into their country. You're qualified to come back. Listen, I have a passport that took place the moment I accept Jesus Christ that qualifies me for the inheritance of my Father. Let's go on or I'll teach. To share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of what? Of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Listen, that's twofold. One, our sins, forgiveness. He has taken, He has washed away. Ever done anything bad? I know that everybody on this side hasn't. It's us that have. No. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And God, through His mercy, because of a mercy-rich God, Ephesians 1 tells us that we were lost in our transgressions and our sin, but because of a mercy-rich God, He forgave us and brought us back to life. And we are now qualified to walk in that heavenly realm that we talked about last week and some things we want to talk about this week. In Colossians, in other words, there's three words I want to just briefly talk about today to get us platformed, and all of us are very familiar with, relevant. How many people want to be relevant? Dude, that's the main reason everybody is on Facebook, because they want their voice to be known and everybody knows that they exist and that they're relevant. The social media, the social network. That's what it is, but it's a voice crying out saying, hey, don't forget me as y'all are going through life. We all want to be relevant. I mean, that's why, what is it? Those people that do surgery on your face make you look better? Huh? Yeah. All I could think of is taxidermy, and that wasn't right. It was just stuck here, and I couldn't get past that, you know. But anyway, we all want to be relevant, you know, in that deal. And so we go to plastic surgeons, we do all that. And I'm thinking, taxidermy, that is the wrong thing. I can't go there today. But some people need to go there. But anyway, we want to be relevant in life, don't we? Or makeover. Oh, the big deals. Oh, it's what? The, you know, world's biggest loser, where they lose 98 pounds in a week. You know, this kind of thing. We want this makeover thing, if we can do it. The house thing. We can go over and make over the house. Or reposition ourselves. I need a new job. I can't advance any further in where I am. I need to reposition myself. I need to go a little bit more work. And all of these things are advancing ourselves to be where we want to be. We're not happy at where we are. You go into any bookstore today and you go back to the self-help place, and I mean there are good books in there that help us want to change with everything in our life. And we want to be relevant. We want these things. We want makeovers because things are not quite as good as what we want it to be. They're just not quite good enough. If I could just tweak it just a little bit, I'll be a whole lot better than what I was or where I am. Everyone follow me with that? But the thing is, if we do that, the whole teaching this morning, as we're going today and we're going over the next couple of weeks, is to open our understanding that there is a place of confidence and stability in this one thing that says, in Christ. In that section we read, it said, in Christ Jesus, two different times. And we're going to find out through the scripture that as we go over the next couple of weeks, that it's going to look a little bit different in some areas. My question becomes this: what was the apostolic heartbeat that flowed in the early church? When there's Peter, James, John, all these apostles, what was the heartbeat that flowed in the church? What was it about their lifestyle? What was it about their conversation? What was it about their ministry that brought people into knowing more. And in other words, more than just having your sins forgiven and hope of living in heaven someday. Listen, I'm glad my sins are forgiven. I'm glad that I have been qualified and I am getting to go to heaven someday and get to experience what all of that is all about. But there is something more than just that. There is a dynamic that, number one, in that teaching of the apostles, their heartbeat and what the Word of God says, your life can work. I constantly hear from different people going, life just is too hard. It just never, man, I never get a break. It just boils down. Listen, from what we're going to look at, your life can work. You can realize life to the fullness and fruitfulness, and that's what God has called us to be. The God who invented you, the God who created you, the God that formed you in the womb, the God that it says in Psalms 118 that He knew you before there was even a constitution, even a form. When He created you, He created something inside of you that the moment you got saved did not need to be reinvented, did not have to have a makeover, but it's something that needs to become uncovered by the Holy Spirit in our life. In other words, the moment you and I get saved, we are brought from darkness to life, from being dead to life. And when that takes place, there is something inside of us that is radically changed, that we are changed, that we're different, that we're a new creation in Christ. We look the same, and guess what? We still have old habits, but we have a brand new heart. But the thing is, there's things that are ingrained in us, the moment, or planted in us, the moment we get saved. One of those is Galatians, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, mercy, long-suffering, temperance. All these things are planted inside of us. But it is growing in Him that allows those things and fruits in our life to grow. Oh, I have an anger problem. Yeah, but you know what? God planted a fruit in you that if you will water and nourish that, you can overcome that anger. Oh, I have a lustfulness in me. Yes, and God planted one of purity inside of you that if you'll water that and let it grow, it will grow into something. Well, I have addictions. Oh, yeah, but God can heal you and take those. But those are things that are truths inside of us that we have to release, we have to work on. Salvation has more to do with the fullness of the life that Father intended for you and I. Salvation isn't just that you and I get saved. Salvation is an entry point into a life of fullness where He says, I've come to give you life and life to the full. King James says abundant life. The Greek says abundant life means life to the full. Fullness of forgiveness and the fullness of eternal life, not only in the next world, but in this world here. That I can understand that I have eternal life, that I can be like Nick Walenda, knowing that full well as I walk the tightrope here, if I fall, dude, I'm not dying. My life is just extending. But it's the same way with you and me. As you and I walk the tightrope of life, that we can walk that, what God has called us to do, what He has grained into us to do, what He is leading us to do, without the fear of ever dying, because there is eternal life, not only in this life, but the life to come. But we in the church have made salvation this. See if this sounds familiar. Hey, just try Jesus on. Dude, He'll save you. He'll take your sins away. He'll bless you. He'll make you happy. He'll make you rich. He'll give you the dreams and desires of your heart. And my thing just went off. He will fill that empty hole in your heart. Just try Him on for size. It's like we get saved so God will have someone to make happy. So He can have another pet project. Another pet person. It's like He's gotten bored up there and we give Him something to do. Listen, He's not bored up there. And we're not a project, oh, let me see if I can do this. No, He's given a work and He's called us to do things to bring glory to Him. In reality, it's way more than that. And that's what we're going to walk through when we go through this series in Colossians. We're calling this prepositioned. Because that is what He did for us. We're lost. We're over here. We're dying. We're dead to everything. He takes us and transfers us out of the kingdom of darkness. We'll talk about that on the last slide when we get to it. He comes over here and transfers us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, it talks about in several things. But when He does, not only am I saved and I get to go to heaven, not only am I saved and my sins are forgiven, but He prepositions me for victory in my life. He has implanted indelible things that are inside of me that all I have to do is release through His power, His anointing of the Holy Spirit. He has prepositioned me for a victorious life. And you say, well, I get saved, but nothing ever seems to change. It doesn't change because we do not act upon the Word. We do not act on what God's called us to do. And we still, over here even say, we still try to live like we're over there and we don't belong over there anymore. When we grasp what Father has done for us in the reality of this, it will change everything about how we think. My goal, my desire, my job is to teach you how to do the work of the ministry. Not only that, just to lead you into a deeper walk inside of Him, to come to know Him in a greater way than I do. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm not satisfied at where I am. I want to push the envelope. I want to know Him deeper. I want to know Him more intimately than I ever have. And my job is to take you guys along with me, that as we walk this Christian life, it becomes something overcoming. When we look at these different things the next couple of weeks, we see we're in Christ, we're by Christ, we're through Christ, we're of Christ, we're from Christ, we're with Christ. We will begin to understand Him, and we're going to look at each one of these over the next couple of weeks so we get a better grasp of it. The early church, understand, they grasped this term. They understood what it was to be in Christ. Our first one, as we begin to just look and talk about being in Christ, that in Christ gives us confidence that comes from being in Him. Verse 2 says this, to all the saints and faithful brethren in Christ and Colossae. 2 points I want us to understand is this. Number one, where are they located? Colossae. What is that? It is their physical location. We, believers in Christ, are in what city? Owosso. Okay? That is our physical description. But the other says, he says in where?
Christ.
Christ. Which is what? Spiritual location. Even though we live in this Owosso, we also live at the same time in Christ in a spiritual condition. Okay, last week we talked about dimensions. I'm not going to go into that again. If you weren't here, get the tape. Okay? But that right here, a parallel universe next to us is where Christ is. Christ is not way, 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 way off in heaven somewhere, because if He were, then He would be lying when He said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. He is right here. That heavenly realm is right here next to us. Entryway into that is through the Holy Spirit. Okay? But it's right here. So not only am I living here in Owosso, but I'm also living in this spiritual realm. I am connected with that because the Holy Spirit lives in me. Understand that when you and I get saved, we are baptized into Christ. We are what? Immersed in Him. Quick lesson. When it talks about baptism in the Bible, if we come from a theological standpoint, there's 12 different baptisms. Okay? There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's the baptism in Jesus. There's the baptism of going through the Red Sea with Moses. There's the baptism in the Old Testament of going from Judaism to Gentilism to Judaism. And when we get baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are actually immersed, saved by Him. When we're baptized in water, we're showing the world that we've died. We're risen from the dead in that, okay? But when we're baptized into Jesus, it doesn't mean that, when I get dunked in water, it's got to be in the name of Jesus like another denomination is. What it talks about, when I'm baptized in Jesus, I'm baptized in His blood. I am immersed in Him. I have died with Him. I have risen with Him. And it's like our little guy here. He's just walking along and he decides to ask Jesus, and he gets immersed into, okay, now we got to figure out how he's going to stay in there because he's got water in him. Let's pretend he's in there. We'll talk about it. Okay, I needed to put a hole in his head so the air would come out. I was afraid that was going to happen. But anyway, he's immersed inside of Jesus Christ. Illustration a little bit later. What salvation does is bring us in to Christ no matter where we live. Andrea just got back. Kids down in Bolivia got saved. Even though they live in Bolivia, they're now in Christ, in that heavenly realm, and they're brothers and sisters with you and I. I got saved in Kingsville, Texas. And when I got saved in Kingsville, Texas, my spiritual location became what? In the heavenly realm. Where did you get saved? Did you get saved? Make up a place real quick. Bartlesville. He got saved in Bartlesville. God can do things in Bartlesville. Hallelujah. But his spiritual location now is what? In the heavenly realm. Okay, here we go. Verse 4 says this, since we have heard of your faith, where? In Christ Jesus. And he's not talking about in him, but actually inside, in that spiritual realm in him of your love with all saints, there is a dynamism that takes place when you and I get saved. What is that? He wants to lead us into his love and into his, oh, there's that word, anointing. Anyone ever heard that word, anointing? You know, I gotta ask a simple question. Do we really know what the anointing is? What is the anointing in the first place? We hear a beautiful song. Dude, that was so anointed. Man, she stood up there and the anointing was all over her. Or that was such a good word that guy brought. I mean, it was really, really, really anointed. But the problem is, we really can't clarify what the anointing is except in two ways. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. Or it is what the Holy Spirit does. The person who sang up here and sang that wonderful song that we say, oh, she was anointed. No, those words, as they flew from there to here, somehow the Holy Spirit placed this anointing on, and it did something here. You follow what I'm saying? We try to be real magical with this stuff. So to pinpoint what the anointing is, dude, we fall really, 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 really short. It's the same way in this realm of parallel universe of here. I know what I can see. I know what I can think. I know all this jazz. But over here, dude, I don't have a category for that. We can understand created things. Those are things we can see, we can smell, we can touch. Things that we can hear, things that we can understand. Because they're created, because they're in this three-dimensional world of past, present, and future. Follow me? Because they're all in here. We can understand those things. But understanding anointing is something, understand that the anointing isn't created in our world. The anointing is the Holy Spirit in this world here, and he enters our world and helping us understand him. You follow me so far? We can't really get a true handle on this anointing thing. We don't have a category for it. And my pet peeve is in today's society, in the church culture, we just use that word flippantly. And we just use it for everything. When this is part of God, And we're to fear Him. In other words, be careful how we use these words. In other words, this talking Christianese jazz that I can't even understand when I've been in the church world. Listen, put it on a level that everybody understands. You know, when that person sang that song, I don't know, I don't understand what happened, but something touched me here. And I know it was from God. It's kind of like we use that word anointing, but I'm not. Explain it more like that than coming out with just a word that just is brazen to people. See, because we try to categorize it. We write books about it. We preach about it. We testify about it. But what it boils down to this, you can have all the theology you want. But without opening ourselves up to that anointing, to the Holy Spirit, to what He does, listen, it's only a mind game. We can sit back and go, oh, that was so anointed. But unless we open ourselves up to it and allow the Holy Spirit to do something inside of us, then it's only a game. You follow me? Okay, we're all on the same page. So it's when we open ourselves up to that anointing, to the Holy Spirit, and allow the Spirit Himself to consume us. And that's not come in like the Holy Spirit goes like, ooh, I'm going to get Kevin today. Woo-hoo. And go, ooh, I'm going to consume him. No. The Holy Spirit's in here. And God never works from the outside in. He works from the inside out. Religion changes the outside, wants to work inside. God works from the inside and work His way out. So when we talk about being consumed, it's not eaten, you know, by the Holy Spirit. But He starts to permeate and take over control of every area of our life, and we begin to flow in that portion of life that He wants us to do. In Christ, there's a place of confidence and stability. In other words, this is God. I am choosing to acknowledge You as my Son while His power is growing up inside of you. Okay, let's go back to our man in the pot. Listen, now I'm going to push him in down there so you get it. We're baptized in Christ. So we are inside of Christ, immersed inside of Christ. And when God looks at us, He looks at us through the lens, the bowl of Jesus Christ when He sees us. If He sees us as in His condition, He sees us ragged in sin. But when we get saved, we're immersed in Him. I should have put a hole because He's just a floater here today. Hold that. We're in Him. You follow me? So when God looks at us, this is what He sees, us through the lens, through Jesus Christ, because we are in Him. You got it? Okay. Next time I'll bring a towel. Okay. Ephesians, Colossians, and Romans. Dude, these are really unique books. Ephesians and Colossians are like twin epistles. It's like you can start one and start the other, and I mean, what they do is they complement each other. That's why we're going to be able to pick up some truths in Ephesians that are in here. Romans is the same thing. It becomes our thesis. It becomes our theological statement of who we are and how to live those lives out. The first half of both of these books deal with the wondrous and glorious and wonderful thing that God has done for us. What He is doing to us, what He will be doing in us, simply because we come to know Him. He doesn't go, poof, you're saved, I can forget about you and go after the other unsaved. He said, poof, you are now my child. And I'm going to prune, I'm going to love, I'm going to lead, I'm going to caress from this stage into a deeper walk because I want you to be fruitful in every area of your life. The problem is, we only know this as a positional truth instead of a reality. What do you mean? I'm saved. I keep messing up, but I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and I keep messing up. Well, you know, it's just my nature, it's just the way I am. And that's wrong, survey says. Yes, I am saved, but God does not want me to stay where I am. And the thing is, yeah, that was your nature, but now you have a new nature of God that's living in you, and you can compress, you can progress and become what God has intended you to be. But to live here, oh, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, but God's got wonderful things for me. Positional truth. Oh, I'm saved and I'm going to walk into the truths that He has for me, and it's no longer just positional, but it's reality. You follow me? That's what we're called to do. See, God sees, He looks at us while we're in Christ. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did last week. It doesn't matter what you did when you were 3 years old. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you do today, and it doesn't matter what you do tomorrow. No matter what you do, He loves you. He has saved you, and He is inside of you. He is saying, I have chosen to acknowledge you. I choose to acknowledge you because you were, not because you're a good person, but because you are immersed in Jesus Christ. That's why I choose to acknowledge you. He just doesn't look over to see that we exist, but He acknowledges us in His Son. What does it mean? He kind of sets us up like a race car is set up. What do I mean by that? He is watching and waiting as His power infiltrates every part of us and consumes us from the inside out. Race car driver, he's going around the track. He's doing the lesson. Go fast, turn left. Go fast, turn left. He gets to a certain point. There's a rattle in his car. He pulls into the pits. They know exactly what to do. They adjust this shock here. They adjust this shock there. Or they change this tire here. They change that. And he's out, and it's even faster and faster. And they fine-tune that car so it can get the very best production it can. That's what God does with us. We're on the race car and we're kind of hobbling around trying to turn left. Normally we turn right, and God says it's time for a pit stop. Okay? God's going to come in. God's going to prune. God's going to do this because He wants us running as fast and as good and as accurate as He can. That's where He says, run the good race. Where Paul says, I have run the race. In other words, the fine tuning. And God wants to fine tune our life. I want to be fine tuned. In Christ, there is a place of confidence and stability. It manifests itself in our love for other people. When we allow the love of Father to come into our life and we grasp that, we are romanced by Him. We used to do a song here a long time ago when I led worship talking about being romanced. I want to be romanced, and that's what the Scripture says. Guys, remember when you first fell in love with your woman? Dude, you were consumed with her. I mean, you're at work, you're thinking about her. You're getting off, you're thinking about her. You're going to her house, you're thinking about it. You don't want to leave that night because that's all you can do. You're in bed that night, and you're just thinking about her. You know what I mean? Okay, it was like that with me. The rest of you guys, y'all need to get saved. Everything was about her. Okay? Ladies, how many times with a notepad did you write his name? And then write your name. And then write his last name after your name. I mean, you were consumed. In other words, you were romanced. You were romanced. And when that true kind of love comes in us, it consumes us and overflows us. That's the important part of worship. Listen, a lot of different reasons why we raise our hands, and Mickey kind of hit on one, but one of them is the surrender, because God wants to romance us. God's up there writing our name down in His last name. He's wanting to romance us. And part of worship is allowing ourselves to be romanced by Him. And when that happens with us, then there's this overflow of His love from us into other people. And we cannot help but love our brothers and sisters. And see, the early church got this. And they walked in it before they did their responsibilities. The church world says, hey, get saved, now go to work. And there's truth to that. However, we forget about the love part. And what we need to do is concentrate on the love part. If you concentrate on the love part, it takes care of a whole lot of stuff over here that we try to work on. Love one another as I have loved you. Therefore, the world will know you're my disciples because you love one another. Listen, you got something with someone else? Take care of it. Begin to love. Our responsibilities now, understand, are very, very real. But our responsibilities are based on being in Him. You can't do God's things without God's power. So you must be in God to be able to do God things, because it's through being in Him that the power comes. Love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Our responsibilities, we can walk in fullness of who He is because we do not have fear, because His love is in us. Love covers a multitude of sin. Oh, my brother, they tick me off. If I love my brother, I might get ticked off, but I'm able to overlook that sin because of God's love that's inside of me that overflows that, that covers that sin. And I don't have to say, get your life together. It's based on our love for Him. I'm willing to do things for my wife because she loves me and I love her. I want to do things for my God because He loves me and because I love Him. It's based on our life, love for others. The responsibilities that I do is because I love and do not want to see anyone go to hell, and I'm willing to work from. In Christ, there is a place of confidence and stability. In other words, in hope that doesn't disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Wow. My question becomes this: have you ever fallen? And I don't mean going down the doors, down the steps. Okay? I don't mean that. That hurts enough. But I mean, you've fallen, and I'm not talking about Mary that fell down her steps this last week. But we're going to pray for her, okay? She's going on a mission trip, and we need to pray for her because she got hurt. But I mean fallen so badly that you're scared to ask Jesus to forgive you. It's as if I can put two or three good days together, then maybe I can go back and ask Him for what I did over there. Because I don't know if He'll forgive me now because I messed up. If I can put two or three good days together, maybe I can go back and ask Him, and maybe He'll forgive me again. It says in 1 John 1:9 that He is faithful and just to forgive us of all and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Not if we can put two or three days together that are good, but He is able to cleanse us, to take the sin away and restore to us what we've lost in relationship with Him. He is faithful. He'll do it every time. And He's the only one justified to do it. Understand, hope doesn't disappoint. And that hope lives inside of us. His love transcends all of our weaknesses and every bit of our emotional baggage. Two, what a glorious God I serve. I want to know Him better. Oh, I hope He forgives me. I hope I didn't make Him too mad. I hope I haven't gone too far and I've sinned the ultimate sin. and I don't have a chance. Listen, if you come to a point and you feel like you may have sinned the ultimate sin, you haven't, because there's still that heartbeat. When you've sinned the ultimate sin, there is nothing of God left inside of you. So if you're worried about that, there's still hope. The hope of Christ isn't a disappointment. You and I may vacillate. We may change. We may turn in our relationship with Him. But He never turns. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The motto of Foursquare. He is the same yesterday, today. In Him is no variableness, no shadow of a turning, it tells us in Timothy. That He is the same. He doesn't change. He is the same as He was the very moment I was when I was 8 years old and I bowed my heart and asked Jesus to come in my life. He hasn't changed. I've grown. I've vacillated. There's shadows of turning in me a whole lot. But He never has. He has been constantly with me, because He says, I am the author and the finisher of faith, Don. And I don't care how many periods you try to put at the end of that. I'm erasing it and I'm putting a comma. I am the finisher and faith, the finisher of your faith. I will complete a good work that I have started inside of you. And if you're here and you feel lost and confused and all of that, He says, listen, I'll erase the comma. I will finish the work that I've started in you. Give me the chance. He has chosen to love you and I. His love isn't predicated on anything that you do or you don't do, what you say or you don't say. His love is totally unconditional. It doesn't ask for a response. It's hard for you and I to understand that, because it's not part of our nature. But it's pure God nature. In this universe I walk in, it's not part of my nature, but this right next to me is His nature. Is the fullness of He is. And all I have to do is just with the Holy Spirit reach over and take that into my life. The Holy Spirit, there is dominion and full release and full restoration inside of me. That I'm delivered from the power of darkness. I may have gotten saved. I may have been transferred over into this kingdom, but dude, I still lie. I know I lie. I can't quit. I habitually lie. Listen, God, because He translated you, that can be broken in your life, but you got to allow God to do those things inside of you to well up. I got an anger problem. Listen, God has given you the answer for that already. No matter what it is, He's given you the answer to that. I just can't forgive. Yes, you can, because it's not you, it's Christ that's in you that can cause that. Because the Scripture says He rescued us from the dominion, the dominance of the darkness. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. Verse speaks of several things, three different things that we're going to look at real quick. Is number one is this, that there is a different destination. Hell has now been replaced by heaven. Without Him, I am destined for hell eternally. With Him, hell has been replaced, and I get to go to a whole lot of better place. That's where Paul says, for me to live is Christ. To die, dude, it just gets better and better and better. The second thing is this. There is a different destination in life as you and I see it. What do I mean by that? We are no longer walking in the darkness of this world and can't see those things. But listen, a light has come on. And no matter how far we've walked in our Christian life, when a light comes on, we start to see things in a different perspective. The deeper we walk in Him, the cleaner we become in our lifestyle of pruning and cutting those things, the clearer we see His perspective. We start to see through the eyes of the kingdom. In other words, last week the light came on to a whole lot of people as we were in here last week and realized that in this parallel universe, we begin to see things like never before. And when we're walking in that and our eyes are open to that, we begin to see from a kingdom perspective, we begin to see that everything has changed with this deal. And it's happened whether we believe it or not. That's the incredible thing. The third thing is this. a different destination in life as we know it by this. Because I got saved, I began to walk in a different direction. But as I came to a point and I decided to give up, well, we could say alcohol, we could say drugs, we could say anger, we could say perversion, we could say pornography, we could say ego, we could say pride, we could say any of those. Because I decided to take a different walk and walk more like Him, then I kind of changed directions again. You follow me? And as I'm pursuing this direction, I am going in a different direction to where if I wouldn't have cut these things off, I continue to go down this pathway. In other words, when I cut those off, I'm walking away where I could have been a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 3 years ago. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, I'm walking from New York to L.A. That's going to be my path. And like I'm walking there, and it's a long, long trip. But I decide that I'm going to get in the desert, and I'm going to die of thirst. So I need a different direction. And that could be anger, that could be any of those things. And my different direction takes me in a way, place where there's lakes and mountains and coolness. You follow me? In other words, by changing direction, I'm not going to end up in the desert where I'm dry and dying. So this perspective of walking in Him and allowing the anointing to take me in a direction that is so different than where I could have been. Did I make sense in that? Okay, all right. In Christ, there's dominion and release of full restoration. What do you mean? Positioned in a new arena, transferred to the kingdom. Two 17-year-old guys, a guy named Donnie Case and a guy named Joey Osceola. We're going to a place called Expo 72 in Dallas. We had never been to Dallas. Two ladies, they lived in Angleton. They said, hey, we're going there. We're looking for someone just to share the ride. So Joey and I jump in the car with these two ladies. I'm 17, he's 16. I might have been 16. He may have been 15. Somewhere right in there, we're in that time, 17. And we take off to Dallas. These ladies drop us off in a section of Dallas because they're going to stay over here. We're going to stay at Joey's brother's and sister's house, and all we have is a map, and we get dropped off. We'll take a bus. So we take a bus and learn to get around the city on a bus. We learn something that's called a transfer. If you've ever done a lot of bus riding or on a subway or one of those things, on an L and all that kind of stuff, it's called a transfer. In other words, when you get on the first bus, you pay for your full fare. And when you do that, doesn't matter how far you have to travel, and it doesn't matter how many different buses you had to take, it only costs one time, and you don't have to pay for every bus that you get on. So Joey and I could go, and we had to catch three buses going, four buses coming back at night to go where we were wanting to go. We would pay one time, and we changed buses two times, didn't have to pay one, and then paying that night, we changed buses four times, and we didn't have to pay but one time, one fare. Doesn't matter how many buses we took, same price. It's kind of like that in the kingdom. There's a price that needs to be paid. And no matter how far this life is, how far it goes, and however twisting and turning, I'm translated from this kingdom to the next. You follow me? And dude, I didn't even have to pay for the ticket. Jesus did that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who never get on the bus. Then there's those who get on the bus, but they get off for their own reasons. Or they get on the wrong bus altogether. Bus of unforgiveness, of deceit, pride and ego. Let me tell you something, those buses will give you a ride. You get on the ride of unforgiveness, you'll go for a ride. You get on the ride of pride and ego, you'll go for a ride. Those buses will take you for a ride. But listen, He has given us the ability to have full restoration. He always has a plan. My question is, are you on the right bus this morning? In Christ, there is redemption. Forgiveness of sins. It's called the recovery process. To take back that which is stolen. Someone go get Mickey for me. To take back that which was stolen. Buying back not only eternal life for us, but things that got lost along the way. What do you mean? Marriage. I don't know how many times I've seen God restore a marriage that was broken and disheveled because of sin. And watch two people give their hearts to God and watch God restore that which was lost. Relationships that are broken and lost because of sin. But God comes and restores that relationship because of what's been done inside of here. Or the restorer of your future, or the restorer of dreams. I'm talking to my pastor 2 days ago on the phone. He calls me. And he makes a statement. Understand one thing. Understand the hellion I used to be. And Siri, I said, yeah, I know. And look what God's done with my life. The hellion that I was. And what God's done in my life. Talking to a friend of mine. If I had brothers, they were Vernon and Sandy Howard. I watched Sandy end up in prison. I watched all kinds of stuff in the hellion that he was and half his mind gone. And I watched God not only restore him, but dude, I would have liked to have been there the day he entered into heaven. Because those last years of his life, he became such this phenomenal man of God, leading over 600 people on missions trips, working in prisons through Belize and Costa Rica and those places, and people getting saved hand over. Affected a radical change within. It doesn't matter how far you've gone or what you've done. Because God doesn't view you through the eyes of your past. He views you through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And He said, I acknowledge you because I know what my Son did. I rose Him from the dead. And I will raise you from the deadness of the life that you were in, because you were in my Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, I praise God. That there is a hope and a future for me, and He restores that inside of me. Not because of me, but because I'm in Jesus. In Christ. His hope of glory. In Him, there are no reinventions. There are no makeovers. There are no repositioning needed. When we are positioned in Christ, the work has already been done. Position in Christ makes life begin to unfold into all kinds of fruitfulness. And that's His word for us today. That no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, if you have bowed your heart to Jesus Christ and invited Him in, there is a work that already has begun inside of you that is bigger than you will ever know or you'll ever understand. And it's simply saying, less of me and more of you. Let me decrease that He might increase. Let me die to myself that more of Him blossoms. Allow Him to set you up as the race car in life, to begin to prune, to take away, and restore that which is lost. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I believe that we're a household of faith today. I believe that everyone that's here is saved. But I also believe that there may be people here that you kind of got off the right bus, and you're kind of riding a bus that is taking you for a ride. And it might be time to say, you know what, I need to get off of this bus and I need to transfer to the other bus. And listen, it ain't going to cost you nothing. He's already paid the price. If that's you this morning, say, you know, I kind of slipped up the wrong way. I want to make it right. I just ask you to lift your hand just quick. Just say, me, I want to make it right. If that's you this morning. Just say, I want to make it right. Anyone here at all? Well, dude, y'all are better than me because I got both hands ridden. Because it seems like I make a wrong turn every day in my attitude and my thought pattern. And Lord, I want to be kept on the narrow. There's a wide road out there and many go the wrong direction, and I want to stay on the narrow path. So Father, I just ask right now to keep us honed in the right direction with You. We just ask that it. In Jesus' name, amen. Just sing a song. As we lift up our hands.